Thank you, choir and orchestra. And Miriam, ask that you stand at this time as we read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. A census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege today to come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we realize that the cradle's not the end of the story. There's a cross that Jesus had to bear for our sins and salvation, and then a resurrection. And so today we celebrate and worship you and thank you now and throughout all eternity to make salvation and eternal life possible for sinners like us. And now as we continue to study your word, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you as I share from your word. And if there's someone here today who's never received the most expensive and the greatest gift ever given, the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, I pray that this would be the day that they say yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I thought about today we'd talk about when Jesus chooses the gifts. I was reading a book summary the other day by a man named Jamin Goggin and Kyle Strobel. It was not a book written about Christmas, but they did point out one of the problems we do have with Christmas. Goggin said this, "I had clearly focused more on the other gifts than the gift of God himself. Rather than his presence, I wanted an experience, a sense of personal growth. I made the mistake of sin, which always leads to turn God's presence into a mechanism or a resource to make my life better." And what we need to realize is we don't need the Lord as our resource necessarily. We need a relationship with God himself, and he takes care of everything else. So we celebrate Christmas, God giving his only son, who gave his life to pay for your salvation and mine. Well, the word gift is on all of our minds today. The first thing Delaney and I did was go to the stockings. She gave me a lot of personal hygiene products. So there must have been a problem in the past year. And we opened our gifts and we're just all excited. Somebody asked us this week, "Are y'all excited just to be by yourselves on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day?" Praise God, yes. Both sets of in-laws are in heaven and we'll join them there one day. You've been checking off a list. People that you want to give certain special gifts. May have been expensive, may have been cheap, but it's something that you wanted to give. This past week, my sister sent me a great idea. Last Tuesday, she went to Dollar General and bought a piece of poster paper, a big poster. And then she, Christmas cards that she had received, some of them, she pasted them on her poster. She said she has had the same sanitation crew for 5 years. She said their own time, Tuesdays and Fridays. So I always give them McDonald's gift certificates. But she said, the Lord laid it on my heart that I needed to do something different. Now understand, it was pouring rain. And so she stood out there thinking the Dollar General poster would disintegrate in her hands. But I want you to see what she's done. You can't see it close enough up. But she told the guys, don't throw this in the truck. Don't throw this in the trash. Well, they looked at it and they didn't know what it was. And she said, look closer. She said, I have taken money and taped it to the poster, and I made thank you for all that you do out of dollar bills. She said that their humble thanks made her whole Christmas with gift giving. She said, and I know how much they appreciated it when they emptied my trash. Instead of leaving my can at the road, they brought it halfway up the driveway, and I only had to take it halfway myself. What a thoughtful gesture on her part. But today I want to talk to you about when Jesus picks the gifts. And the first one I want you to see is this. Because of Christmas, we have access to the Heavenly Father. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you realize, had Jesus not come, our Heavenly Father would have been totally unapproachable by you and me? We look a little bit further, and we remember in that same chapter, Philip said this to Jesus. He said, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long, and you ask me, show us the Father? And later he said, I am the Father, are one. Jesus came so that we might know the Father. And the only way we know the Father is through the Son. And John said this in his epistle, he who has not the Son has not the Father. And he who has not the Son does not have eternal life. And he who denies the Son denies the Father also. The only way you can have a relationship to the first person of the Trinity is through the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Almost every civilization has had and does have some kind of God. Some tribes worship the sun, moon, the stars. Others have worshiped Buddha. They worship gods of stone. Some worship a dead person, Mohammed, and on it goes. There's such a great difference between Christianity and false religion. One religion that's becoming more prevalent in our society, the members, they hold to 5 pillars and 7 covenants. And then after keeping all of those, they're not assured of any kind of heaven. This particular religion also believes this, that their God is so high that he would not send the people a prophet, nor would he send his son, if he had one, to die for the people of that false religion. Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He had to live a sinless life. He didn't have the blood of Adam. He had the blood of the Heavenly Father. When you read this text about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bloodline comes through the Father and not the mother. So we know she was conceived, Mary's conceived with the Holy Spirit, and there was a virgin birth, sinless life, and then a substitutionary kind of death for our sins. And he had to die that death in order to have a victorious resurrection and he rose again so that you and I might know the person of the Heavenly Father. I was reading last week about George Frideric Handel. He didn't leave his home for a three-week period in the year 1741. Now, you talk about isolation with COVID. Well, he was in isolation for 3 weeks. And when he came out of isolation, he had the masterpiece known as the Messiah, a 259-page orchestration that celebrates the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the passion of Christ, and the glorious resurrection. On the last day of his isolation, here's what he wrote. He wrote down SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, which simply means to God alone be the glory. Now, this is not advocating living in isolation, but at the end of God inspiring him to write that piece of music, he realized the benefits of what it's like to have access to God the Father through the Son, also in isolation and in meditation. I'm so thankful in that Luke passage that I read to you that the angels also went to the shepherds. Those were considered spiritually the dirtiest people of the day. They were not allowed into the temple to worship. In fact, the Jews did not want them on the grounds of the temple. And he says, those of you who are considered the lowest of the low, I came for you. And you have access to the Heavenly Father. Well, God chose another gift for us. He acquired our salvation. I want you to notice that there had been no birth of Jesus. The gospel would be unpreachable. Listen to Luke 10 again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Now it's called good news of great joy. And then verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. From the very first news of the gospel, this has been called good news, the greatest news that's ever been presented to mankind. That word gospel means good news, the good news of salvation. That means that God loves us and he wants to rescue us from our sins, and he wants us to walk with him now, and he wants to be with us physically throughout all eternity. Just don't get any better than that. But think about the people in the Old Testament. They heard these prophets come along for thousands of years before the birth of Christ. And they said, listen, one of these days, you're going to have a Savior. But then, 400 years before Jesus was ever born, there were no prophets. There was no prophecy. There was silence. Can you imagine going 400 years without a message from God if you were able to live that long? God is simply silent. And then who comes along? John the Baptist. He said, the one who's coming, he's going to be the Savior. I am not the Savior. I'm not worthy to latch his sandals. And he said, you need to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the king. He said, he's on the way. It won't be long. And then Jesus was born. We see that he was 100% deity and 100% humanity. The Savior had come. Well, I guess we were all disappointed when we heard this year that 2022 marks the first time since 1965 that Charlie Brown's Christmas is not going to be aired on network television. Apple TV Plus bought the exclusive rights, and the only way you can watch the Charlie Brown Christmas is if you subscribe to Apple TV Plus streaming. I was reading about that the other day. They were having trouble finishing up the animations. They had a production deadline. The way Charlie Brown became the star is he was the easiest to animate. And then as the deadline was coming, Les Mendelssohn had to scribble out some kind of music, some kind of theme. Some of you know Christmas time is here. Mendelssohn wrote that on a scrap piece of paper in 30 minutes. The producer said, this is going to be a flop. So Mendelssohn tore up that piece of paper that he wrote, Christmas time is here, and threw it away. Don't always listen to your critics, because I want you to know that that soundtrack sold more than 5 million copies. Most of the voice actors were kids from the director's neighborhood. Some of those kids were too young to even read the script, but they got them because they had a deadline. And then the executive said this to Schultz, cut out all scripture. We don't like scripture, and this production will fail. Schultz said, the scripture stays. They were confident the special was going to flop. The comic strip would be ruined forever. Now listen to this. When writing about this particular Schultz production last year, one of the show's network broadcasters, Robert Lloyd of the Los Angeles Times, listened to what he said. Even an old atheist like me must admit that Linus' gospel-based meaning of Christmas speech strikes the right note at the right time. And then Matt Sitz wrote about the 35th anniversary on the year 2000. And he said, it's really about the conflict between the temporary and the eternal. The temporary being the things you own and the eternal being much larger. Essentially, Charles Schultz made a film that said, Christmas is about more than selling products and buying and exchanging gifts. God went to the expense of giving us the most expensive gift ever given, his son, Jesus, our salvation. Notice the third gift, an appeal to God in prayer. Had we not had the gift of Christ himself, prayer would be ridiculous. It'd be totally unprofitable and unproductive. Remember in the Old Testament, only a few people could call on God. It was usually some prophets. It was usually some priest. You remember that the sacrifices were made for sin on the altar. And once a year, they had the Day of Atonement when the high priest took an unblemished lamb, laced it on the altar, and then cut the throat of that lamb. And that blood was offered as a sacrifice, as well as that lamb as a burnt offering for the sins of the people. You couldn't pray and have direct access to God. You had to go to your preacher. You had to go to your priest. Well, after Jesus was born, the veil in the temple was torn. Symbolic is that we can pray to God the Father through his Son. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Why? Prayer is now profitable because we can come to God in the name of Jesus. Listen to John 14:13. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now the question is, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Anybody got a guess? Because Jesus told us to. I used to have a church member. I loved her to death in another church. But she had questions I could never answer. And one day in prayer meeting, and this is why I don't let you ask questions when I preach anymore, she raised her hand and said, if God knows our needs before we ask, why do we pray? I said, because God said so. We just got to obey him. But don't take that for granted. We don't need an earthly priest. We don't need an earthly pastor. You got direct access to the Father through the Son. Remember, he said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will heal you. I want to tell you, Jesus is the golden key to the gates of prayer. And when you come to God in the name of Jesus, he says, the Father will hear and answer your prayer. Prayer is profitable because Jesus came and we can go directly ourselves. Don't ever underuse that asset. How many times do we pray and never appreciate the fact that Jesus made that possible? You remember that old hymn? Somebody wrote a long time ago, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. We're so glad to have Richard Brown on our staff and his wife Denise and their precious daughter Erin's in our college ministry. Some of your guests here, you don't know the background, but a little over a year ago, Erin was out walking, collapsed, and long story short, no pre-existing conditions. With just a few days, she had to have a heart transplant. Critical time. Well, things have transpired through this year, and I remember one staff meeting we went to this year, and Richard, he was very, very concerned, and we were having our prayer time. We were going around taking requests from our staff, and Richard looked and he said, guys, please pray for us. Said, insurance has turned down an experimental drug that Erin needs to protect her heart and save her life. Could we just pray that would be approved? And he had other people praying. Denise did too, where she works. 2 hours after the staff meeting, he came in and he said, praise God, guess what? Insurance, the devil. That's what they are sometimes. Insurance just approved her medication. And she's sitting out here looking like a Barbie doll right now. Let's give God a round of applause for that. God answers prayer. Well, I looked down the aisle this morning, not too embarrassing me, but Pam Keziah is with us today. What a great blessing. Fighting her illness for 11 years in a wheelchair, her family constantly in the caregiving business. When they all got COVID, she got over it first. And it's just a blessing that she's still with us. Made my whole Christmas day. Somebody pointing out, there's Miss Pam. We had a call not too long ago, and we were supposed to consider this benevolent situation. I said, I don't know. We might be getting ripped off. We better make this a matter of prayer. So the next day, I said, all right, we're going to take care of this. And so we wrote the check and sent it. The day after we did this, we got a check in the mail for 248 times more than we gave to meet the need. Prayer works. Yesterday, our Christmas was made. Mary Ann, that we helped lead to Christ, the beach patrol down at Panama City Beach. She's been saved now about 6 years. And you remember I baptized her in the Gulf? Guess what she agreed to yesterday? She said, I'll be glad in February when you're preaching on evangelism, I'll be glad to try to use my phone to FaceTime your congregation during the service to share my testimony with them. Isn't that wonderful? That made my Christmas. You're going to enjoy what she has to say. What a privilege that we have that oftentimes we take for granted. And then the other thing, here's the other gift, and this is not a complete list of the gifts he gives, but arrival in heaven is guaranteed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And Peter said this in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Because Jesus came, heaven is attainable to everyone who repents of their sins and by faith receives Jesus in their heart. Someone had come and made a sinless sacrifice. That's Jesus. Someone had to come and make a once for all sacrifice. He says, then I go to prepare a place for you. I was reading about an old pastor, and this happens. Christmas had arrived, must have been a Sunday. You know, nobody will come to church on Sunday when it's Christmas, isn't that right? That's a lie. Thank you for being here. But I tell you, this happens every now and then. Preacher be in his study, and he'll fall asleep on his own sermon. I've done that a lot. And so I've already pre-tested it. I try to watch you to see how it affects you. It's like anesthesia with me when I go over it. But this pastor was preaching. He was preaching his sermon in his study, went to sleep on his own sermon. And he began to dream. And he dreamed he walked through his house and there was no Christmas tree and no Christmas lights. Then he looked out the window and there were no Christmas lights out in the neighborhood. So he said, I know this is Christmas time in his dream. So he went in his study and he looked for a book that he had in his study on the incarnation, Christ becoming flesh and dwelling among us. You know what? There was not one book on his shelves about Jesus. Not one. Then there was a knock on the door in his dream, and he answered the door, and there was a lady there, and she was all upset because she had a friend that was dying, and she wanted to see a preacher before she drew her last breath. So he picked up his Bible, and he rushed over to the lady's home, and he got down by her side, and he was going to look over in the New Testament, and guess what? His Bible ended with Malachi. He said there were no verses of comfort like I would have normally used, like I am the resurrection and life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he said, a couple of days later, I was asked to do this lady's funeral. And he said, in my dream, I was standing next to her casket. And he said, I didn't have anything positive to say. And I had to end the funeral with ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Boom! Then he woke up from his dream. He lived in the pastorium next door to the church. Guess what? The church choir was practicing before the service. He was supposed to preach. And they were singing, Oh, come all ye faithful. He looked in the house, there were presents. There was a tree. He looked down the street and there were lights everywhere. And Christmas came alive. What a nightmare this man had. Michael Siegel recalls his childhood. He said, my parents were very poor. And he said, all I ever got for a lot of years was one present under the tree. Just one. And he said, when I got about 10 years old, 11 years old, he did what all children do. They inventory the net worth of the gifts under the tree. And the way they do that is they find out how many presents have their name on it. And he said this one year, he said there were two presents under the tree with his name instead of one. He was so excited. He said, financially, things must be better. We must be a blessed family now. So it's time to give out the gifts. And they had sung, they'd prayed, they'd read the Christmas stories. And so he got his gift. He picked up one of them. He opened up. You know what it was? It was one sock. Just one. So he didn't have to shake the other one to figure out what it was. You know what he got? Another sock. You smart crowd. He got a pair of socks. Boy, he was disappointed. But you know what his daddy taught him that year? He taught him this. Here's what's important about Christmas. And let those socks be a reminder. Just two things important about Christmas. Number two, are the people gathered around the tree with you? Your family and your friends. He said the most important thing about Christmas is the one who died on that tree to shed his blood to purchase eternal life. So as he's married and he's had children, guess what he does? He gives his children two packages. And you know what they have? One pair of socks. Because he wants to remind them what? What's important? Family and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what we said today and think about what you gave and what you've gotten. Salvation is attainable. The Heavenly Father is knowable. Prayer is available. And then when we look a little bit further, we see heaven is a sure thing. Those are the greatest gifts you'll ever receive. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one enters heaven, except by me. Merry Christmas. You stand right where you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. And Lord, thank you for all these families who've come together. They've made worshiping you a priority. Bless them for having come. And help them to just really count the blessings that they have, each other, the way you provide for us materially, but most of all the way you provide for us spiritually. Some of us are here like Delaney and me today. Our parents have been in heaven for years, and what we're looking forward to is our first Christmas in heaven with them. But you know what? That's available for every one of us. And Lord, help us to be generous in sharing about the gift of salvation and these specialty gifts that you give when we trust you as Savior and as Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, all you got to do is in prayer just confess to him that you realize you're a sinner. Turn away from your sins and accept that gift he purchased with his blood on the cross. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. The greatest Christmas you've ever experienced so far. Staff members will be here with me at the front. We'll make it very simple. No pressure. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, we'll be out at the desk in the Welcome Center. We'll take you to our office, sit down, answer your questions. Maybe you have a prayer need. We'd be glad to pray with you today. If you are listening on your electronic device, if you would just call 706-234-1841, we will return your message even on Christmas Day concerning salvation. If you've been praying about coming and being a part of this little church in Silver Creek, we'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details. You just come as God speaks to your heart. So Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God talks to you.